Well, thanks. It's always fun to come to these and see former CIMMYT colleagues. I saw Margaret in the back and Yvonne, but I don't know, those are things that you that have lived and worked abroad that you share, that's kind of a oddish but very tight fraternity that you you just don't, Charles, that you don't take for granted. But I'm appreciative of a lot of those CIMMYT colleagues that are here. This work really started at CIMMYT, and so several of you have maybe seen a couple of these slides, but they resonate, and so I repeat them. We keep bringing back some of our hand planner work to the meeting simply to kind of push it along, move it along. We think we have a product, and that hopefully it's not going away anytime soon. So this is the picture that, again, we use. I have used a lot. I took this, I don't know, 1987 or 88, one of the two, and this is in El Salvador, which was part of my region as a CIMMYT agronomist. And I almost fell over taking the picture. This is common planting on very marginal slopes that are present in these terrains. There's about 30 million hectares. We'll kind of get to that. They poke the stick, a middle tip stick in the ground, push it forward, make an opening, and then he throws down 2 to 3 seeds in that hole, and then covers it up occasionally with his foot or a little bit to compress that. And as a result of that, 2 to 3 seeds usually emerge of that he threw down, because it's really good seed. So whether it's El Salvador or Uganda, they are planting really good maize seed, as many of you are aware. The problem is that it's treated. This happened to be treated with chlordane, and it's not that the seed's bad and that the insecticides are bad, because they're not. And they work, and they work incredibly well. But the problem is that he has that seed-to-skin contact with the chemicals. And by the end of the planting season, you know, he gets sick or she gets sick. So it is serious, and one of the things that, again, this picture in particular kind of haunted me from my days at CIMMYT, that later in my career at OSU was kind of allowed to do some different things, and one of them was the development of the hand planter. So that area, you know, this is what it looks like. In El Salvador, again, it could look the same in Guatemala, all throughout Central America, and a gift to be able to kind of work on something that might resolve and solve some of those problems that were present. These landscapes could benefit from the homogeneity of seeding, simply to decrease some of that soil erosion. So from a world point of view, there's kind of just go to that bottom line, is that there's 30 million hectares of maize that are produced on marginal landscapes in the third world. And that's the equivalent to what we produce in the United States in a mechanized fashion. And so those two numbers resonate with me a lot, where I only worked in Central and South America. I've never been to Europe. I've never been to Africa, but we've had a lot of African students as well. I think CIMMYT kind of wore me out with so much travel when I worked there, but I'd rather look at pictures of Africa than go. A lot of maize. So we do believe that because that average farm size is a hectare or 2.2 acres, that there's the potential market for 30 million hand planters, because we would like to replace that hand planter that you saw in El Salvador, which is very similar depending on where you go in the world. So at this point, really, from this presentation, I'm looking more for feedback with time to constantly expose what we're doing. We believe it's incredibly important, but we are not will not presume that we have the answers, because we don't. And so as we move forward with this project, we're going to rely heavily on input from people like you that are interested and that sit through these sessions and again, clearly want to make a difference. So we have a little bit of momentum as we look at this early stage of a development of the hand planner. We kind of have a management team. We know what that market size is, as I mentioned earlier. And we have an idea of how much money it's going to take, and I'll talk a little bit about where we are there. But we seek interest. We at the university are not businessmen. It's not what we do. But on projects like this, we're kind of forced down that path because first runs, we're spending a lot of money on a hand planner to get a return on that. Because it's not necessarily popular at universities to be doing this work. So you kind of have to borrow from one to put in another place. You cobble things together out of necessity. What that final product's going to look like, whether it's an NGO subsidized, whether it's a government program, we don't know. And so there's a lot of blanks in here. And for that reason, I do want to communicate that it's not like we're lost, but at the same time, I do not know what this model is going to look like. And as I mentioned, seek input and seek advice. There's a video that's quite clever at the bottom of that if you want to call this site up, that you would see a junior in high school put it together for us. It's as good as anything our paid guides get to, but you should see that. So what are we on the hand planner? We have a product that works. You know, we presented last year as well. So right now we're at about $45 a piece for the planners. This comes from a bid from Nebraska for a bid of $5,000. The last run that we had was for $300. We had 50 additional planners that were made. Those are scattered all over the world. But we would like to build 5,000 more. Again, there's a demand that exists. But we're down to about $45 a planner of what we could make them for. And we think that if we were able to get half of that subsidized, so $20, $25 a planner that maybe an NGO or whoever it might be would spring for, that the producer, because of the yield benefits that we know exist, would pay for the other half, maybe $20. We don't want the product to be available for free. The producer, no matter where it is in the world, needs to have some skin in the game, and we believe that that's a better model, because you know we want him or her to say, this is mi sembradora, this is my planter. We want them to understand that this is a different product where it was built for that producer. This was not a trickle-down product, but rather a product that he or she was our target, and it needs to be built from the bottom up. So we do know a little bit about the extension and movement of some of these products. This is the handheld Green Seeker sensor that was developed at Oklahoma State. I should mention that Marv Stone, who passed away in the horrific accident 3 weeks ago in Stillwater, he and his wife were killed and run over by a woman that, I don't know, she clearly mentally ill. But Marv was the developer of that Green Seeker sensor, this handheld in particular. But moving some of these products out there is important. So this was taken in Mexico City. The person on the left, if you recognize him, is Bill Gates. Right next to him, or one over, is Carlos Slim. So the two richest people in the world were kind of vetting that sensor. Again, this is a lot of the work that I've done with Marv, John Soley. that we actually, this product also was in mind with, we had a $5,000 sensor. This one costs about $490. That we had to get those prices down if it ever had a chance to be used in the third world. And $490 is not cheap either. But we do have some experience with that, so we recognize that there are people out there that are interested and that could support and or fund the work with the hand planter. We just have to sell it. So modern researchers, this is a woman in Uganda that's using our hand planter. But it says, modern researchers should therefore seek to understand the rationale behind traditional smallholder behavior in technology use, and that's really important. But this woman is helping to move the planter in Uganda, and she was so pleased to not be touching that seed. And again, the seed that they have, Monsanto, Pioneer, awesome seed, but it's treated. And it's not that the insecticides are not needed either, because they are. But to get those out of her hands was incredibly important. And like the ergonomics we've tried to keep the same. The other one that's a big issue was the weight of that planter that was embedded in everything that we did. Again, working from the ground up, we knew what the weight was of the hand planters that are presently used, the amount of force and energy that it requires. And again, in many of these locations, the women are doing the work. The women are using the hand planters, and the women need to be involved in the decision making. This is one of the first runs that's out there. The hand planter is relatively simple, but the robustness of the hand planter, I have those little drums, you see those black ones at the bottom. That allows us to move in a lot of different directions that I'll talk about. It's not just a planter. It's not just for maize seed. It's also for fertilizer applicators, that using a different internal drum, we can modify that where we need to get the urea, which is the common end source that's used, incorporated into the soil so that we can decrease that ammonia volatilization, especially in the tropics. Scattering that, throwing it down, dribble bands at the surface is the kiss of death with that. You can lose up to 70-80% of the nitrogen through volatilization if you don't incorporate it. So we've basically shown with many trials that we can increase those yields using that hand planter versus that broadcast application by significant amounts. And that dragon is for those nitrogen cycle ninjas that are out there that understand the dynamics in that process. So a lot of benefits, but removing the chemically treated seeds from the hands of those producers, decreased erosion via improved plant spacing, two or three seeds as their previous method, a foot apart. We can get those 7-8 inches apart because we rely on the ability of that hand planter to provide singulation. That's one seed per strike. We will tolerate multiples too, but we will not tolerate blanks. So poking the ground, it's not releasing seed, that's a failure for us. The potential to increase maize production and NUE are obvious benefits of the planter. But again, it's not just a hand planter for seed. Doesn't matter what the size is. It doesn't matter what the size of the seed is. We can modify that internal drum that catches the seed and dumps it with each strike. Based on whatever's being present. We also see a market for this for homeowners and gardeners that want to plant those seed here in the U.S., and maybe they might pay an elevated price at Walmart for purchasing one of these, that maybe the added sum and money goes to a producer in the third world that's going to use it for their livelihood. But again, fertilizer applicator is as big an issue as the planter, because the fertilizer then goes down right next to the plant that has emerged, versus throwing down fertilizer either pre-plant or mid-season on the ground. Being able to get that localized mid-season is an important variable. And this is really exciting. I ran into Becca Harma. Becca, raise your hand. Becca had attended one of our our sessions last year, and Becca became interested in this work. She's at the University of Tennessee. Actually, this work is from Ohio. Wanted a hand planner, so we sent her a hand planner, and I think a coffee mug from OSU, or a little token of interest. We have given her absolutely nothing. And she did all of this work. There's a lot of different hand planners that are included in her slide. She shared this with me yesterday. But the OSU hand planner has kind of stood out in terms of working. This was in no-tillage. But really, really exciting that you know, she kind of caught fire and said, I would like to work on this as well. And again, thank you, Becca. I think that if there are times for questions, you know, they should actually be directed to Becca, who was, again, she's one of the users. And a lot of times you come to the meetings, you want to talk not to the researcher, but somebody that's actually used those products. And again, the internal drum and cavity size, we can modify those depending on the seed. We're interested in advancing this. We do believe that we have a product that works and that can work with fertilizer as seed. So a lot of these planters scattered all over. This was just a slide to kind of show a lot of the different places where we're working. We've had success in Uganda and El Salvador. Uganda, because we have master's students that are back there, got degrees with us, and we can work with them. We mail them five planters, they're going to put them to use. Same thing with the students from El Salvador. If we have graduate students that we invested in, going back to them to kind of work with us in projects like this, where they worked with us in Stillwater, but are now moving this forward abroad. So with that, I intentionally left this kind of as a blank slide, where we don't know exactly where we're going next. We've had some discussions with Catholic Relief Services. Clearly, we want to use CIMMYT. CIMMYT was kind of the birthplace of some of this work of moving forward, and whether it's the CG system, we do believe that that is an answer. Because we have those contacts, and Joel Ransom just stepped in. Same thing. He spent a lot of his time in Kenya. It's that fiber connection that we need for getting those tentacles out there to extend this product. But I do believe that we're close. We get closer and closer. And next year, I guarantee you, we'll have more presentations, and hopefully we'll be able to report added progress. With that, thanks for coming.